Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small and Judy Nugent, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. And Judy, the parade of new cars just keeps on keeping on there. What are you driving this week?
Well, the vehicle of the week is the Buick Enclave, and it was really great to get it and see it. I learned when they dropped it off that it had come directly from Detroit.
Oh, okay. So
it didn't
How
get
did
much
you
newer.
Know?
Well, they told us. They're like, this came straight from Detroit. I'm like, wow. So it's a beautiful, beautiful vehicle. It is an SUV with a V6 engine and a 6-speed automatic transmission. It's got three rows of seating, so you've got to think of it as, you know, your I don't know if they're considering a crossover air, but something between a minivan and an SUV, because you get all that seating, but you get the power that you would in an SUV.
Can you take that third row out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And you can take out the second, too. Oh. You know, most of the vehicles, you can do that. You can pop out the chairs, pop them back in, or they fold down conveniently. You know, it all works well.
You could fill it up with deer, then, if you want.
Sure,
to.
You fill up with deer, or float tubes, or fishing rods, or kids, or, you know, and you switch them next
all
day, do something
above.
Else. Exactly.
Okay.
So I really liked it. Of course, it came with a sunroof and a skylight.
Oh, I like sunroofs.
Oh, it's so much fun in the summer, you know. And then it's got the little bug protector, too, so that if you want to close
shield,
it. Yeah, so that when you have a sunroof, you know, you're not getting bugs on you and stuff. And it was wonderful. It's ranked number 2 by U.S. News and World Report as the most affordable midsize SUV. And the price range is between $34,000 and $37,000, and you really get a lot for your money. So if you think if you're in the market for an Enclave or an SUV there with all that seating, check out your local Buick dealer. You can see pictures and stuff of the new Enclave on the web in case your Buick dealer doesn't have one straight from Detroit yet.
Yeah.
But they will soon. So I really enjoyed the vehicle.
Oh, great. And speaking of vehicles, I know you've been doing some traveling around the state.
Yes. But I think we'll get to that later. I want to make that our fishing report.
All right.
Yeah, was that good?
Good. Excellent.
But you've been traveling as well.
I certainly have, Judy. I was out in Bismarck, North Dakota with Ben Hobbins of Ironclad's Soft Baits and at the Outdoor Writers Association of America annual conference, and I helped Ben introduce Ironclads to the writers out there, and everybody was impressed. And,
oh, good.
I think most impressed, and I got a kick out of this, was Babe Winkleman.
Oh, good.
We put one of those long reinforced worms in his hand. I said, Babe, try to break it. And he's tugging and tugging, and he can't break the thing. And he said, you know, this is interesting. And so he's interested. A lot of other writers and anglers are interested. So I think we'll see a little more press on, on the Ironclads. And, of course, our radio show won 13 awards in the awards category night. And actually, I don't think anybody won more than that in radio.
Be hard.
Yeah, we pretty well swept them. And we heard some of those segments last week.
Yes.
So, and I got to chase some prairie dogs around, or actually shoot a few prairie dogs, actually, because there isn't much chasing involved. You go out to the prairie dog town, and there they are, and there you are, and you do a little bit of long-range shooting. And I shot a Ruger M77 rifle, beautiful bolt-action rifle with a Burris 14-power scope on it and a bipod, you know, Harris bipod that holds it steady. And I hit a couple out to 270 yards,
oh,
which
wow.
is the longest distance I've ever taken a shot at a live critter and made it. And a bunch of guys were there, Tim Lesmeister and some other folks from Wisconsin and Canada and everywhere else. We had a good time. And I also, at shooting day, we went to a range and did some silhouette shooting.
Okay.
Long-range silhouette shooting. Actually, we were shooting a variety of shotguns and handguns and rifles at close paper targets and some of those little .22 flip targets, you know, that you hit them and they plink and they jump out of the way. But there were some rams at 500 yards, and I asked the Browning rep if I could, Paul Thompson, the Browning rep, if I could try one of those. And he had a 270 with a nice scope on it, and I shot and hit the dirt the first time, and then got the range and actually knocked four of those rams over it at 500 yards, which was a blast. You shoot, and then you wait a second, and then the ram kind of teeters and falls over.
So there's a delay. It's
there's
that far away.
A delay at 500 yards. And I had to hold about a ram's height over the ram.
Okay.
Fortunately, the scope had you know, two posts and then the crosshairs in between the posts. And I just put the bottom heavy post on the top of the ram's back once I got it figured out.
Does it still have the velocity to be a kill shot at that distance?
I don't know. Well, sure. 500 yards, 130 grain, I think it would take a deer down.
Okay.
I don't want to make
Wouldn't
a practice of,
right,
of doing
right.
that. Yeah.
That's just not safe.
Yeah. And I don't know if I hit others and they didn't go down because I hit them low or just didn't hit them solid or something. I don't know.
Oh, fun.
Anyway, that was a lot of fun. And coming up, we have actually a couple of giveaways. We didn't mention last week that Terry Polly of West Allis won the Milford Hills 5-pack of Sporting Clays. And from last week's show, Michael Kramer of Puyallup, Washington, wins a pair of Glacier gloves. He listens every week online.
Good.
Loves the show, he told me. And we'll hear about the Niagara USA Rod and Reel winner in just a few minutes when we talk to Bill Hiltz, Jr.
Very good.
And we've also got some other exciting guests coming up this week. Mitch Swenson is going to talk to us about the Iola Old Car Show. I know you're a real old car show
fan. Oh, I love it. So much fun. You can bring the family and you just walk back in history.
Yeah.
They're just pretty to look at.
Yeah, and so we'll hear more about that coming up. We'll also talk to Richard Feldman, who's an attorney and a gun lobbyist. In fact, his website is gunlobbyist.com.
Okay.
He's going to give us his take on the recent Supreme Court decision that affirms the individual's right to keep and bear arms given to us or recognized in the Second Amendment. And Cindy Overton will be back with a cooking corner from Camp Chef. And, of course, your fishing report.
Mm-hmm.
And
stay tuned for that.
Yeah. Oh, I want to hear all the fishing you've been doing. And next week on Outdoor Wisconsin, speaking of fishing, remember that segment we did last year with Roger LePenter on that little five-island lake it was called up in Bayfield County?
Yep.
Well, that's going to be on. And Cindy and Charlie will be cooking walleyes at Westward Ho Campground.
Very good.
All that and more right after this.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
Go back to a time of roadsters, ragtops, rumble seats, and gas that didn't cost an arm and a leg. Come to Iola for the 36th annual Iola Old Car Show and Swap Meet happening July 10th through the 13th. This is the Midwest's greatest old car show and swap meet. Thousands of vendors and classic car fanatics will converge on Iola for 4 days of fun and memories. See up to 2,500 show cars from the early 1900s through 1979. Shop and swap in over 4,400 swap spaces with everything you need to fix up your classic car. And with over 1,000 classic cars for sale, you can make that cherry ride you dreamed of in your teens a reality. Make a weekend of it. 4 day passes are only $15. Kids 10 and under get in free. Campsites are available. Parking and shuttle service is free. Learn more at iolaoldcarshow.com. Don't miss the 36th annual Iola Old Car Show and Swap Meet happening July 10th through the 13th.
Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek features Wisconsin's only 5-star shooting facility and much more. Milford Hills is open to the public Wednesday through Sunday for sporting clays shooting and fine dining in a first-class lodge restaurant. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. Check them out on the web at milfordhills.com or call 920-699-2249. That's 920-699-2249.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter. Your new Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse is a Wisconsin-owned company that features everyday low pricing with the most knowledgeable staff in the industry. On the rare occasion a local competitor has a lower price, your Sportsman's Warehouse store will do everything they can to meet or beat that price. You'll find the best prices on great brands like Danner, Benelli, Remington, PSE, Browning, St. Croix, Filson, Drake, and many more at Sportsman's Warehouse. This next segment is brought to you by Niagara USA, a great American outdoor getaway, on the web at niagara-usa.com. And joining us on the line is Bill Hiltz, Jr., an outdoor sports specialist with Niagara Tourism and Convention. And Bill, I understand you were at OWAA, giving Dan a hard time, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
as always, that's part of my job.
It is, yeah, and he does it well, better than anybody.
But then...
I hate to encourage him, but anyway...
But then, you lucky dog, you got to go fishing at Wollaston Lake Lodge in Saskatchewan. How was it?
Yes, I did. It was outstanding. It really is a lake for big northern pike. And while my biggest one was only 37 inches long, mm-hmm. some of the other guys that went up there caught them up to 44 inches, which Ooh. Is about a 25-pound
yep,
pike.
Yep.
And considering the fact that we were only there 2 days, that really is pretty impressive.
Wow. How did you catch them? What were you doing?
Well, primarily we were catching them right in the lips and reeling them in.
Nice.
Okay. I'll shut up, yeah.
Seriously, it didn't seem to much matter what we were using. We primarily tossed spinners and spoons and plugs. Like, my favorite plug happened to be a man's minus one crankbait.
Uh-huh, shallow
which,
runner.
Yep, because we were fishing a lot of shallow bays, and it really worked well. But some of the guys, Doug Stamm, which I think you know from,
oh, yeah.
from Wisconsin
Doug,
there.
Doug was there, sure.
He caught a 43-incher on a fly.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And one of the good things about Wollaston Lake is that it's well-noted in the fly fishing community as a place to get a big pike on the fly.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. In fact, there's a video from that lake called Pike on the Fly. It's great.
I believe it.
If anybody I wants to watch it.
Yeah, we had some super fishing. Sometimes it was a little difficult to get the fish to turn on, but when they did turn on, in one bay, for instance, my dad and I, we caught 25 pike in about an hour and a half.
Wow.
So, you know, you have that potential.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wow. Well, when you were gone, did you hear about, or now that you're back, did you hear about the fishing in Niagara County? How's that going?
It's actually going pretty good. The walleye and smallmouth bass have really started to turn on in the upper Niagara River, as well as out into Lake Erie. And out in Lake Ontario, the salmon and trout are just starting to turn on, too. The lake goes through a transition time for about 3 weeks in June. And things are starting to settle down right now, and they are starting to catch some fish right up in front of Wilson and Olcott.
Excellent.
So it looks like it's going to be a good summer. You know, our fingers are crossed that we're going to have another weather-wise good season from the standpoint of not having a lot of wind, which
yeah.
we've had the last few years like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. Well, I understand, too, that you have a winner for us now. We've been doing the Niagara promotion for the last 6 weeks or so, and folks have been going to your website and requesting one of your free fishing hotspots maps, and out of all those names, you picked one for a winner, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Nice Shakespeare rod and reel combination, and her name
uh-huh.
is Sherry Keevil, K-E-E-V-I-L,
uh-huh.
and she's from Ringwood, Illinois.
Okay, well, very good, and you have her address, so you'll be shipping her the rod and reel, right?
Yes, we will be.
Well, listen, Bill, it was good talking with you, and it was great, as always, to play a little golf with you at OWAA, and maybe I'll join you on an outing, a post-conference trip in the future. We haven't done that together yet.
Yes, we should do that, Dan, and they really do have some spectacular ones. We're going to be heading out to Michigan next year for our conference, so maybe we can tag team there.
Yeah, sounds good. And, of course, I'll see you up in Lake of the Woods in September, right?
I will be there for the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writers Conference.
All right. Boy, it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. All right. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Well, thanks for the phone call, guys.
You bet.
Take care.
That segment was brought to you by Niagara USA, a great American outdoor getaway, on the web at niagara-usa.com.
Well, Judy, a lot of events coming up, as always.
That's right. At the New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse, Jim O'Brien is going to give a seminar on Dog Day Tactics for Fishing, and this will be 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, July 8th. And then a high-power reloading class with Billy Branson will occur 5:30 to 8:30, Tuesday through Friday, July 8th through the 11th. And this requires registration, but there is no fee. And then there will be a seminar on arrow fletching from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday, July 14th. So for upcoming events, you can call your New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse at 262-641-2000 or visit them on the web at sportsmanswarehouse.com.
And the Rough Grouse Society has several events coming up in Marshfield, Wisconsin. There's a golf scramble on Saturday, July 19th. And in Chicago, the next day, July 20th, there's a youth day. And Kalamazoo, Michigan has a dog training seminar on Saturday, July 26th. For details on these and other upcoming events, you can log on to www.ruffedgrousesociety.org. Just click on the drop-down menu, membership information, and then on events and banquets. And don't forget to check out the bargains on their new rgstravel.org site, and there's a link to that right on the Rough Grouse homepage. Milford Hills Hunt Club has a number of things coming up, of the shooting lessons with Gil and Vicki Ash, scheduled for July 11 through 13, Friday through Sunday. Still have some openings. And there's a UW football fundraiser shoot on July 17th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's a Thursday. And that Saturday, the 19th, there's a Safari Club International fundraiser shoot all day. And then the Outdoor Wisconsin Family Day coming up Sunday, August 17th. And we'll tell you a lot more about that as that approaches, but save the date. For more information on Milford Hills events, you can call 920-699-2249 or check it out on the web at milfordhills.com.
And the Wisconsin Fishing Club meeting is going to feature Warren Zarin. He's going to be speaking on Green Bay and Sturgeon Bay walleyes, smallmouths, and muskies. This is Monday, July 17th at Calhoun Station in New Berlin. They'll be meeting at 7 p.m., and they will have a speaker and fishing equipment raffle at 8 p.m. They're not going to raffle the speaker, though.
Why not? Maybe he's worth it.
It's a $3 entry fee, and they will have hot pizza available. For more information, you can call Dan at 414-464-9316.
And the second annual Kippensburg Creek Kids Fishing Day. I got through it. Saturday, July 12th at Half Moon Bar and Grill in Mosinee is coming up, and it's a free guided fishing event for kids and parents or guardians. 9 to noon, they'll be fishing, and then there's a buffet lunch and awards at Half Moon Bar and Grill. Phil Schweik is the contact. Call him at 715-693-5843 or 581-2620 to volunteer if you want to help out, serve as a guide, or to sign up your kid or kids to fish.
And the DNR Forestry Department has a warning to help prevent the spread of forest pests such as the emerald ash borer and gypsy moth. If you are camping, it is illegal to bring firewood from more than 50 miles away into any managed state property, including state parks and forests. Buy your firewood locally or it will be confiscated at the park entrance. Also, it is illegal to transport firewood out of the states of Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. Anyone caught doing this is subject to a federal fine of $1,000.
All right, we'll be back with more right after this.
Way back in the sticks, I'd like to walk you through a field of wildflowers.
This next segment is brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. Well, Judy, the Supreme Court of the United States has made a monumental decision.
That's right.
And we have a gentleman on the line who can shed some light on this, Richard Feldman. Richard, how are you today?
Very good, thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us. And for our listeners, Richard is the former regional political director for the NRA, former executive director of the American Shooting Sports Council, and now president of MLS Communication, LLC, in New Hampshire. And he's the author of a book, Ricochet, Confessions of a Gun Lobbyist. And I met Richard at last week's Outdoor Writers Association of America conference in Bismarck, North Dakota, and we talked briefly about the Supreme Court case and the Second Amendment, and we thought we'd get his thoughts on it to share with our listeners. Now, several months ago, we spoke with attorney Bob Levy about this case and about what might happen, and now that has actually happened. And Richard, I wonder if you could tell us, what is this case about and what has happened?
Well, it truly is an extremely important case in the history of the firearms movement in America. It's really the first time the Supreme Court has truly gotten involved in what does the Second Amendment mean. And what they said, in essence, was it is an individual right. It's not a collective right. It's individual, which has been one of the big fighting points in the movement for the last 30, 40 years. But it also said that just because it's a fundamental civil right doesn't mean that it can't be regulated in a responsible fashion. It concluded that the District of Columbia, which essentially banned handguns, forced you to keep long guns disassembled and locked, was unconstitutional. So it gave us one side of the wall without giving us exactly a test to go under by how far can you go in your regulation before you hit up against this wall. I suspect we'll find out in the very near future. There's already been litigation the day after the court decision. There were filings in Chicago, filings in San Francisco. I'm certain there will be filings in other cities and states around this country to test how far this decision goes.
And that's because this decision affects Washington, D.C., technically a federal area, not a state area?
Well, you know, the court could have, and if there was one surprise, Judy, I found, it was that it was a 5-4 decision. I really expected this to be 6-3, 7-2. Well, 5-4 is, you know, whether you win by one run or 20 runs, a win is a win.
Mm-hmm.
But one does have to keep in mind that how far the court went, it might not be. The court probably wouldn't go a lot further than it went. So it also said that you can legislate and you can regulate. I think the question before us as gun owners is, and non-gun owners alike, is perhaps moving the issue forward a little bit. It's not so much whether it's gun legislation or not. There's two kinds of gun legislation: intelligent gun legislation and unintelligent, if you will, gun legislation. What we in the gun rights movement have been fighting for the last 40 years is really the stupid gun control laws. I've never heard a gun owner say, gee, I think it's okay for convicted violent predatory felons to easily and lawfully obtain all the guns they want the day they get out of prison. Well, that's essentially gun control. Now what we're arguing over is where to draw the lines. And as I kidded the day of the decision came out, I kind of looked at it as the 2008 Firearm Lawyers Full Employment Act. I think that there's going to be a lot of litigation. You know, we really don't know some of the answers, but I think it does move the issue forward. We can stop arguing if it's an individual right. It is. And now let's move on and do something intelligent when we do it, and avoid doing stupid things because they're politically correct or because one side or the other says, gee, I'm for it. And you get, we've gone through an awful lot of silliness in this country in the last 40 years involving the gun debate. I think that the Democratic Party, in large measure, has figured out that the gun issue has hurt them terribly over the last 20, 25 years, and they've gone out of their way really to say, look, we're in favor of legitimate sportsmen owning guns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it a little more credible coming from the Republican Party than the Democratic Party? Yeah, I think so. But having said that, as a gun owner, I want to see both political parties fighting for my support. I don't want this issue to be captured by the right or the left. It's in my interest as a gun owner for both parties to vie for my support. it keeps them both honest.
Mm-hmm. Now, why should hunters and shooters and gun owners in Wisconsin be, or how should we take this decision? Should we rejoice, or should we say, well, okay, now we got to see what the what the spinoff of this is going to be?
Well, I think there are a couple of levels in Wisconsin. One has to look at the bill. You know, just because you live in Wisconsin today, a job may dictate that you move to the District of Columbia mm-hmm. at some point in the future, or one of the, or certainly Chicago. Right now, you couldn't take your handguns with you to the city of Chicago if you live there. I have a feeling pretty soon you'll be able to. It won't affect much if you continue to live in Wisconsin, as I see it. I think it gives a little more verve to the message on concealed carry, but I don't think it'll be dispositive in litigation on that issue. It talks about keeping firearms in your own home, and it does talk about it for self-protection. I've always sort of enjoyed the old bumper sticker, the Second Amendment ain't about duck hunting. And when politicians talk about, well, what does any legitimate hunter need this particular gun? And, of course, many times they're right. Well, you don't need it. What does any legitimate politician need to have their summer home, their winter home, their vacation home? There are homeless people in this country. Perhaps they should be divested of their summer and their winter home and just be forced to live where they live. Need isn't a criteria of private property ownership in a free country. Wasn't then, shouldn't be now. I think it moves the issue forward, but I don't think it will affect that much to folks living in Wisconsin one way or the other. But if we have a better country, it helps everyone.
Well, I'm curious what you're seeing in terms of public opinion and if that's changing over time. You mentioned Chicago. I know recently there was a shooting at NIU. And, of course, in the aftermath, everybody has a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, all guns need to be removed. What are you seeing in terms of a general consensus with public opinion?
You know, the shift in public opinion probably occurred in the 70s and early 80s, and it just hasn't been that big a shift, certainly since post-Columbine. About 70% of the American people don't want to do much one way or the other with the gun laws. You know, when we look at gun control and the politics, we often look at the gun rights movement as being a conservative group. And what's interesting, when you look at some of the survey research data, there are 10 million Americans that self-identify themselves as liberals that own guns.
Mm.
I suspect in Wisconsin it may even be a higher number than that, percentage-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But being a liberal and being a gun owner, they may not be synonymous, but they're certainly not exclusive of one another.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 million is three times the size of the National Rifle Association, not a small group of people.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what one can say to that, but those numbers are very,
well, it's
very
a much
interesting.
More the politics of the gun control debate, the way they're played sometimes by the gun rights and the anti-gun movements, are really very different from the reality when
mm-hmm.
you do survey research and you look at what people, real people, there are lots of hunters out there that think of themselves as lefties that own guns. And there are plenty of right-wingers out there that think, well, if the Chicago police think it's a bad idea, by God, let's support the police. It must be a bad idea.
Yep.
So it's really not quite as simplistic as some of the media would have folks believe. It's much more complicated and much more nuanced when we're talking about these issues.
As is often the case when you look in detail at an issue like this mm-hmm. one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you think the Second Amendment is safe now?
I think the Second Amendment has always been safe because it resides in the hearts of the people. And the American people have always believed it's an individual right. But now that the Supreme Court has given their imprimatur of finality to the decision, it's clear of pretty much for all time, certainly our lifetimes, that it's an individual right, and it gives the American people an opportunity to move past some of the superficial discussion on this issue and to focus on what really is important within this discussion ambit. What laws will work against going after the people that 99.9% of us agree ought not be able to obtain firearms lawfully? And in general, we agree that those convicted of violent predatory crimes, terrorists, mental incompetence, and unsupervised juveniles ought not to be able to get guns without that supervision, in the case of juveniles, lawfully. Mm-hmm. Well, what are we fighting over in this country? If we're in agreement, sometimes it makes you wonder a little bit.
Yeah. Well, now maybe, as you say, we can focus on the good kind of gun laws and gun legislation now that this issue is essentially behind us.
I think part of the issue is behind us, but there are going to be groups out there that don't want this issue to go away. Mm-hmm. They, you know, make their money by fundraising off of this issue on both sides of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in their interest that the issue stay as white hot as possible for as long as possible. May or may not be in the interest of the American people and Wisconsin gun owners. But, hey, that's our system.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, we will keep an eye on it, and perhaps we'll get in touch with you again as things develop in the months ahead.
Great. Judy, Dan, pleasure being with you.
Thank you so much. That was Richard Feldman speaking on the recent Supreme Court decision that upheld the individual right to keep and bear arms in the Second Amendment. And that segment was brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com.
LakeLink, the hottest website in the great outdoors, just keeps getting better and better.
Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. Check out LakeLink's hunting forums, great recipes, product reviews, moon charts, pros pointers, and weather center.
LakeLink has been providing up-to-the-minute hunting and fishing reports for over 10 years.
As a member of LakeLink, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure not shown on printed maps. And LakeLink will put GPS coordinates on your map to mark your spots.
You can also sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
The LakeLink Advantage program offers discounts to LakeLink members at outdoor establishments throughout Wisconsin and beyond.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the LakeLink radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows and send us your ideas or enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways.
Do you care enough to buy the best equipment? Unfortunately,
radio.
What's desirable to you is desirable to thieves, too.
Introducing DuraSafe's trolling motor lock that fits all Minn Kota transom mount trolling motors.
It eliminates the hassle of removing and reattaching your motor whenever you pull into shore or while you sleep.
Visit DuraSafeLocks.com today to learn more about the DuraSafe trolling motor lock, inexpensive, lightweight protection for your valuable investment.
That's DuraSafeLocks.com.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad soft bait brands, as seen and demonstrated around the U.S. at major trade shows, Ironclad soft baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Bassmaster Magazine lists Ironclad's a hot lure buy for 08, and why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show.
Take it from 2007 Co-Angler of the Year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, Billy Applin.
Ironclad baits, they give me that competitive edge, win tournaments day in and day out.
Discover why nearly indestructible Ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, 2007 National Champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour.
Yeah, I've caught 16 bass on one Ironclad lure in 3 hours.
Anglers, ask for Ironclad soft bait brands at stores and dealers near you.
Available online at buyironclads.com or call toll-free 877-513-3535. And we're back, and it's time for our weekly fishing report brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and Crestliner Boats, available at Heckles Marina. And Judy, you've been doing a lot of fishing, so why don't you give us a fishing report?
Okay, sure. Yeah, I kind of made my way around the state last week, and it was a lot of fun. First, we started out trout fishing in the southwest part over by Westby and Viroqua, and those folks are recovering really nicely from the flood.
Oh, good.
Some of the businesses are back up and running strong, and if you had any doubts about vacationing out there, don't. Go out there. It's well worth it. The fishing's turning on. A lot of the river rivers have kind of been scoured clean.
I was going to say,
and
how
so,
are the streams?
Yeah, the trout are hungry.
All right.
So, and there's new deep holes where there weren't before. And wow. Sure, there's sand flats and there's some silted in lunkers, but it's like fishing brand new rivers because you turn a bend and it doesn't look like you remember it. There's root wads. There's all kinds of hiding places. And all the bridges are fixed now, so you can travel out there with no problem. I hear they're canoeing on the main branch of the Kickapoo out there. So if you're looking to go out there, not a problem. That's turning on rather well. And then I got to go up to the Stevens Point area.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing a TV shoot for Outdoor Wisconsin. We were finishing up some stuff on a bear segment. And then the next day, I got to go out with Phil Schweik Hook Setters Guide Service.
And a Crestliner pro staffer.
Yeah, well, in fact, we were in a big Team Crestliner boat, which was kind of fun. And he's got a big 150 on there, so you're zipping all around the river.
Okay.
But we were just south of Mosinee on the Wisconsin River, and I just loved it. We pull up to this launch. There's nobody else there. You've got the Northwoods feel. You've got the sweet fern in the air, and you've got the pine trees, and you're on a dirt road. And we launch, and we didn't go more than 100 yards from the launch. And the very first time down with my jig, boom, I've got a walleye.
Wow.
We were just fishing debris along the sides, and I think the fish were just getting out of the sun.
Hmm.
So wherever there was shade, they would just tuck in behind a log, and we'd go right up on top of it. And we were jigging vertically.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a lot of what they'll do for bass sometimes. You know, when they're pitching to wood or whatever it is, they've got that fire line on, and they're just able to hook into the fish and then horse them out of the wood.
Out of the brush, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
And so the fishing there was really fun, and there wasn't a development at all on the lake. It wasn't a lake, it's the river.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like being in the wilderness. I loved it, that wilderness experience. So
beautiful stretch.
It really was very nice. And, of course, Phil impressed me because we proceeded to catch 40 to 50 walleyes, 30 to 35 crappie,
ooh,
three real nice smallmouth bass that fought like crazy, and then a nice catfish.
Wow.
And it was great. The camera crew was very pleased because we were done in an hour. We had all the TV footage we needed. So, of course, we just stayed and had more fun. We were trying to get a big lunker for TV, which we ended up not getting. Most of them were, I'd say, 12 to 14 inch.
Okay.
Well, 12 to 15 inch. There's a slot on the section we were fishing. It was a 15 to 18 inch slot. And then one over 23. So if you catch that trophy, that's great, but we didn't. We were just catching them right underneath that slot. But, oh, the action. I mean, for kids, for families,
Oh,
I highly recommend it.
And
I mean,
Phil knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a great thing, especially with television, to go out with people who don't know what they're doing. They talk the talk, but then you show up and they don't know what they're doing. But this was a pleasant surprise. It was very much the opposite. And, of course, you know him personally.
Sure.
He grew up on that river. He can't wait to fish it. He had another group going out at 3 o'clock that day. So, I mean, he's just constantly on the water.
Yeah, he fishes it all the time.
Yeah, so it was a great experience, and so the fish are biting, folks, and if you're looking to get out, do it. I know, too, maybe the silver lining to some of the flooding in the southern part of the state, a lot of the lakes are now wake-free.
Mm-hmm.
There's no wake on them, which means there aren't the jet skis, and there aren't the motorboats.
Yep.
So if you're into fishing, you got the lake to yourself, and it's a lot of fun. So it's been a good start to the summer.
Great. Well, that fishing report was brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats, available at Heckles Marina. This next segment is brought to you by the Iola Old Car Show and Swap Meet, July 10 through 13 in Iola, Wisconsin. Information on the web at iolaoldcarshow.com. And, Judy, we have Mitch Swenson on the line.
Mm-hmm.
He is the PR director, public relations director for the Iola Old Car Show. And, Mitch, it sounds like you've got a really exciting event planned for next week.
We do. A lot of neat things coming up. Of course, it's a traditional event. It's a very large event, especially for our community, and it benefits our community big time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a huge national draw, I know, because I would always drool every month when I'd get my Hemmings magazine, and in would come to the Iola Car Show, because I, of course, own old trucks and just absolutely love it and love to come to these because the cars and the trucks are just beautiful, and you get to step back in time, and it's a blast. And anybody who hasn't been there, I really encourage them to come. Why don't you give folks a feel? I mean, you're there, you do the PR. What can they expect when they show up?
There's a lot of car shows that just, focus on like the 50s, 60s, muscle cars, that type of thing. But the show actually has a classic car background.
Mm-hmm.
The unique thing about the show is it started the Iola Lions Club had a chicken dinner in the park in town here in Iola, and Chet Krause, who was a and still is a Lions Club member and was the founder of Krause Publications, invited a few of his friends to bring some cars down to the park during the chicken dinner, and he offered to buy them a chicken dinner if they brought their car. Well, that first year there was about 14 cars, and that was in 1972. And as time would go on, eventually the car show became its own corporation. And, now we attract about 2,500 cars to the grounds. We have the Blue Ribbon Concourse, which is the, you know, the really top-notch cars, you know, excellent restoration jobs. There's, you know, they have to be very detail-oriented when they do their restoration, down to the right tires, the right rims, and everything. You know, there can't be any flaws in the cars. Then we have actually a pre-war section of very, very old and rare cars. We do have a modified area, which we attract a number of hot rod, street rod type cars. And then we also have a large post-war car area. And then every year we have a theme area. And this year's theme is Roadsters, Ragtops, and Rumble Seats. And we'll feature about 300 cars within that theme area. Of course, another big part of our show is the swap meet area. We have a car corral area where people can sell cars, and we also have an auction on Saturday where people can co-sign their cars for auction. It really, until you get there, you just can't fathom the size of the show. We occupy about 300 acres of property. We have our own campground and our own food service throughout the grounds and such, and it's just—it's huge.
It looks huge, and you know the poster features one of my favorite cars, and in fact, my first car, a '58 Chevy convertible. Mine wasn't a convertible, but back in the '60s, that was my very first car, and I'll tell you, I paid $85 for it. And if it weren't in a rust heap somewhere, it would be worth a lot more than that today, I'm sure.
A car like that, one on the poster, all polished up, and the chrome just shines. You can't hardly not like it.
It's a classic, and it takes me back anyway. Well, tell folks how they can find out more information and get tickets.
Well, our admission daily is $8 per person. Children 10 and under are free. Otherwise, we do offer a $15 four-day pass, and we're located in central Wisconsin on Highways 49 and 161, and all roads will lead to Iola next week. And as you mentioned at the start of the interview here, our website, www.iolaoldcarshow.com, there's, you know, a vast amount of information about the show and even late breaking news tips that we've added and additional features we've added to the show since our posters were printed. Our phone number is 715-445-4000, and we've got staff here during the day, and of course during the show we transfer all our phone lines out to the ground, so there's always someone available to take your calls.
All right. Well, Mitch, thank you for talking with us, and let's hope we've got beautiful weather and a lot of folks coming to Iola for the Old Car Show and Swap Meet, the 36th annual. Such.
And save me a chicken dinner.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks,
okay.
Mitch. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dan and Judy.
You bet.
Bye.
That segment was brought to you by the Iola Old Car Show and Swap Meet, July 10 through 13 in Iola, Wisconsin, on the web at iolaoldcarshow.com.
Go back to a time of roadsters, rack tops, rumble seats, and gas that didn't cost an arm and a leg. Come to Iola for the 36th annual Iola Old Car Show and Swap Meet, happening July 10th through the 13th. This is the Midwest's greatest old car show and swap meet. Thousands of vendors and classic car fanatics will converge on Iola for 4 days of fun and memories. See up to 2,500 show cars from the early 1900s through 1979. Shop and swap in over 4,400 swap spaces with everything you need to fix up your classic car. And with over 1,000 classic cars for sale, you can make
make that cherry ride you dreamed of in your teens a reality. Make a weekend of it. Four-day passes are only $15. Kids 10 and under get in free. Campsites are available. Parking and shuttle service is free. Learn more at IolaOldCarShow.com. Don't miss the 36th annual Iola Old Car Show and Swap Meet happening July 10th through the 13th.
Milford Hills Hunt Club is open year-round with upland bird hunting, sporting clays, shooting instruction, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater to your special event. Milford Hills features state-of-the-art electronic traps in a sporting clays course, elevated five-stand, and oscillating wobble trap. Enjoy open and league shooting Wednesday through Sunday, or sharpen your skills in a personal lesson with a certified instructor or a clinic with the Optimum Shotgun Performance Shooting School. Milford Hills Hunt Club's first-class restaurant offers a full menu for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. The groom and best man shoot free at a bachelor party outing of 15 or more. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249. Or visit them on the web at milfordhills.com.
Hey, Judy, want to pull into shore and get some lunch?
I don't know. I hate to leave the boat sitting here with all these expensive electronics on board.
Not a problem. Look, I've got a universal electronics lock from DuraSafe. It's a tough little inexpensive way to stop electronics thieves dead in the water.
That sounds cool. Hey, if you like that idea and want to know more, visit DuraSafeLocks.com today and check out the universal electronics lock.
That's DuraSafeLocks.com.
This next segment is brought to you by Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors, on the web at CampChef.com. And joining us this week is Cindy Overton of Black Pot Demos. And Cindy, everybody's out this weekend having fun. You got a good recipe for us?
Well, I do, because you know what else is this weekend?
What?
Strawberries.
Yeah.
Everybody's out there picking strawberries. So I figure, why not have a fresh strawberry cake?
Oh, very good.
Sounds good.
And this is going to be one of those really easy cake mix recipes. So you don't have to, like, write a whole bunch of stuff down.
No good.
12-inch Dutch oven, about 6 cups of smashed up strawberries, fresh strawberries, put that in the bottom of your oven. Take a white cake mix, powdered cake mix, put that on top of the strawberries. Don't mix it up. Don't make it like the box says. And then you take 1 stick of butter and cut it up over the top of that and put the cover on, put about 7 or 8 coals underneath and cover the top in coals and let it bake for about 30 minutes.
Okay.
That's it, eh? Wow. Okay.
And then strawberry cake.
Then open the ice cream.
Oh, of course.
Put it together. Go get seconds. That sounds good.
And if you make my baggy ice cream, you can put some of those fresh strawberries right in the ice cream when you're making it.
Wow.
Perfect.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Where are you going to be?
Where am I going to be? Well, on the weekend of the 12th, 13th, I'm going to be taping some new TV shows.
Oh, good for you. And speaking of TV, you're going to be on Outdoor Wisconsin July 10th and then repeating on the weekend, cooking smoked walleye. And then I understand you got some dinner theater going on?
We do. Starting July 17th through the 27th, we'll be at Timberlake Resort in Mount Carroll.
Illinois, right?
Mount Carroll, Illinois. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they have a dinner theater, and we're the dinner part of the dinner theater.
Okay, I was going to say, are you the dinner or the theater?
No, Amy and I will be at that one. And we'll also probably be doing a couple, they're talking about doing a couple seminars while we're out there in the campground. Yeah, they want to utilize our time real well while we're there.
Excellent. Well, folks who talk to you should mention whether they've heard you on the radio or seen you on Outdoor Wisconsin, right?
That's right, because we got extra special stuff for them. If they come up and they've heard us or seen us on the radio or TV, then they come up and let us know. We got a little special gift for them.
All right.
Well, thanks a lot for that recipe, and enjoy all this summer weather. It's finally getting nice out there.
It's about time, isn't it?
Yeah, really.
And folks can check your website, too, for your schedule at blackpotdemos.com, right?
That's right, and the schedule's full, so you ought to be able to find us somewhere some weekend.
All right.
All right, thanks a lot, Cindy.
All righty.
That segment was brought to you by Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors, on the web at campchef.com. But we're running out of time for this week's show.
I guess you're right, Judy. This week our show was brought to you by Lake Link, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. We'll see you again next week.
And the heron is fishing on one cold leg when the loon